Turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. It has been a little while since we have been in Matthew. We have been going through the book of Matthew, but it's been a little while since we've been here. One of the reasons is because I was so consumed with Colossians. It's a good place to be. But I felt led to come back to Matthew this morning, and we're going to look at the verses our brother just read for us here, the first 12 verses. Let's begin reading in verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch, and that means the governor, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. Have they not all heard? At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." When Herod heard of the mighty works or the miracles that the Lord was doing, he said, "This is John the Baptist risen from the dead." And I'm sure he said that with some fear. Verse 3 says, "For," because Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Herod took his own brother's wife. And John the Baptist told Herod, "It is not lawful for you to do that. You have broken God's law. You are a sinner against God." And in anger and in hatred for both God's messenger and God's law, Herod had John locked up in prison. Verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitudes because they counted him as a prophet. Herod wanted to put John to death, but he was afraid of what the people that he governed over would think and do because they considered John to be a prophet. So Herod didn't do it. What all that proves is Herod hated God and feared man. And that's a terrible combination. That's a terrible combination. Solomon said, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. That's what he said. Don't fear man, fear God. Our Lord himself said, don't fear man who is able to kill the body, and that's all he can do. Fear God who is able to put both soul and body in hell. Fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fool hath said in his heart, "No, God." The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." That's what Psalm 14 says. "There is in italics. The fool hath said in his heart, yeah, there is no God. But the fool hath said in his heart, I hear, no, God." May God deliver us from the foolishness of this governor. Really. That's what he did. That's what he said, and that's what he did. Verse 6. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger," because her mother hated John for declaring the truth. Herod hated John for it. Herodias hated John for it. She instructed her daughter, "I want you to go perform and entertain before this feast, and he's going to give you something. And when he says, 'What would you like to have?' you say, 'Behead John and give me his head on a platter.'" Verse 9. "And the king was sorry, not because he wanted to spare John's life. He hated John. He wanted to kill John himself. He was sorry because he feared the people, and he didn't want them to revolt against him. Verse 9. "And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat," because he knew everybody was looking at him, "Are you going to uphold your word?" "He commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." Now here is what I want us to see today. Clearly, Herod was a man who had no heart for Christ. No heart whatsoever. He had no heart for the word of Christ. He had no heart for the gospel of Christ. He had no heart for the people of Christ. And unless God had miraculous mercy on him, Herod died in his sins, and he is right now in eternal condemnation as we speak. That just really struck me, the thought of that. Okay? Unless God had miraculous mercy on him, he died in his sins, and right now he is suffering eternal condemnation as I talk. Herod was a wicked man. He was a wicked man. If you read the commentaries on this whole situation, there's a lot to this, and I was going to tell you a little bit about it, but it's too sidetracking from the message. And it's just too awful. If you understand the history of who these people are and what this whole situation is, it is awful. It's much worse than it even appears in the story right here. Much worse. This was sin in every way, shape, and form. But here's what I want us to understand this morning. I want us to honestly understand this. If Herod was eternally condemned, it's not because he was such a great sinner he couldn't be forgiven for it. That's not the reason why. Herod took another man's wife. David took another man's wife. And God had mercy on him. Did David suffer the consequences for his actions? Yes, he did. He was chastened for his disobedience. But God had mercy on him. According to God's tender mercies, he blotted out David's transgressions in his own blood. And he had mercy on him. Herod's relationship with Herodias was an incestual relationship. Lot fell into an incestual relationship. And God had mercy on him. Herod killed God's prophet. Saul of Tarsus, also known as the Apostle Paul, He killed many of God's prophets. He killed many of God's disciples. He was the one who gave the command and held the coats while his men stoned Stephen to death. And God had mercy on him. If Herod was eternally condemned, it's not because his sin was so great he couldn't be forgiven for it. If Herod was condemned, it's for this reason right here. It's for this reason right here. Verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and didn't believe on him. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Herod heard and he did not believe. That is the unforgivable sin. That is the unpardonable sin. Our Lord said in Matthew 12:31, if you want to turn back a page or two to Matthew 12, verse 31. He said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." The Holy Spirit of God is the one who brings faith to believe on Christ. That's what the Spirit does. The Father chose, the Son redeemed, the Spirit quickens and calls and gives life and faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And unbelief is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And our Lord said it's not going to be forgiven. Verse 32, he said, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man," he's speaking of himself, "it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Herod heard, and he didn't believe on Christ. And he hated the word of Christ. And that very thing right there is what will condemn a man or a woman to an eternity of damnation. That very thing right there. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians 2, this is speaking of those who will perish. Verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." And here's the reason why they're going to perish. It's because they received, and I want to go ahead and emphasize the word received. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They received not the love of the truth. They did not receive a heart of faith to love and believe the truth, the word of truth, the person of truth himself, Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 11 says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Election is unto salvation. "Through sanctification of the Spirit," setting apart of the Spirit, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God chose you and called you through the Spirit, giving you a belief of the truth. You had the truth revealed to you. And you were caused to believe it, and it set you free. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 6, it says, But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. What he's saying is, they didn't believe me. They didn't believe on me. They didn't trust in me. Verse 11, So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Now, if you want to know what he said, here's the summary of it all. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. That's the reason why. Unbelief. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 11 says, Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief. That's the sin unto eternal death. Now look with me, if you would, at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. We need faith. We need faith to believe on Christ. We need faith to bow to who he is and to bow to why he came and what he did and why he did it and what he accomplished for his people through it and where he is right now. We need faith to believe all of that. So here's the question. How do we get it? How do we get faith? Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith is of God. It is the very faith of Jesus Christ. He is the giver of it. He is the performer of it. He is the object of it. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Now, go with me back to our text and let me show you what brought this message about. Matthew 14. Verse 1 says, at that time, Herod the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. When I read that and the Lord opened it up to me, when he gave me this message, it reminded me of a very important question that our Lord asked his disciples in Matthew 16. And the answer to our Lord's question is the telling evidence on whether or not a person has received faith to believe on Christ. Herod exposed himself right here by what he said. And we're going to see that if we'll turn to Matthew 16. You go just a couple of pages to Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. That's what Herod said. He said, this is John the Baptist reincarnated, risen from the dead. Verse 14, they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, here's the thing to realize. Even though people today do not believe that Christ is one of these prophets reincarnated, men and women do not believe that today. But even so, the unbelief is all the same. What they were saying is, by people saying he's John the Baptist or he's Elijah or he's Jeremiah, what they were saying is, he's no different than all these other prophets. We don't see him to be any different than all these other prophets. He was a good man. I believe Herod would even have to admit he was a good man. Just like the rest of them. He had a good message. Just like the rest of them. We can respect him for his efforts, but he was just a man, just like the rest of them. I don't see anything in him that's worthy of the highest honor of God. He was just a good man. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They say that you're a good man. That's what they say. They say you're a good man. When you hear people talk about him in unbelief, that's what they say about him. They acknowledge his gifts. They acknowledge his miracles. They acknowledge his efforts for good. But to those in unbelief, he is less than God. To those in unbelief, he is not God. He is under God. He's just God's son. And my goal over the next couple of minutes is to clearly declare that he is not just God's son. He is the highly exalted Son of God. We have the Father of God. We have the Spirit of God. And we have the Son of God. Men say that he was born as a man, and he is the finest example of a man that this world has ever seen. But he's not Almighty God. I mean, when we talk about Almighty God, we're talking about the highest God. We're talking about there is none else. I am God and there is none else. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Oh, I pray God will reveal to us what that means. That's not just his name. And that's not just his title. That's who he is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. What does that mean? What did Peter say in saying that? This is what he said. You are God manifest in the flesh. You are God Almighty given a body. You are the image of the living God. You are the Redeemer of the Trinity. You are God's provided mediator between himself and sinful man. There was only one way that God could show mercy to sinful man. God had to become a mediator for sinful man. You are God's provided hope. You're our only hope. You are the fullness of our salvation. You are the one who deserves the highest honor and the highest glory. You're the Christ. You deserve the highest praise for accomplishing the condescension that you accomplished. If we could ever enter into the glory of just how high God really is and how low he made himself to come for sinners like us. You deserve all the glory for the humility you accomplished. The service to God for men that you accomplished. You're God's remedy. You're God's substitute. You're God's lamb of payment and appeasement. You are the hope of earth and joy of heaven. That's one of my favorite lines in a song. I have 4,903,000 of them. That's one of them. Hope of earth, joy of heaven. Everything down here, everything up there. Thou art the Christ. You're the one who holds the position of the Son of God, the equal member of the Trinity God, all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, You're a blessed man, Peter, because you didn't come up with that on your own. My Father revealed it to you. The Father of God, through the Spirit of God, revealed that to you concerning the Son of God. Now, my time is up, and I know that, and I still have some pages left. So let me just say this, okay? Let me just clarify this, and I'll close. God is three persons. God is three persons. There are not three gods. There's one God in three persons. And I know I cannot get my mind around it either. But there is one God in three equal persons. It is not a hierarchy where one is above the next one and then one is above the next one. There is one God in three equal persons. It is a unity. It is a harmony of one will, one heart, one desire, one purpose. And that one purpose is the salvation of their people, His people. That's the purpose. And that salvation all comes together, that choosing of the Father on whom we'll be saved, and that payment of the Son, and that calling of the Spirit, the fullness of it all comes together in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All focus is on Jesus Christ. All attention is on Jesus Christ. He is the only way that mercy and truth could ever meet together. He is the only way that righteousness and peace could ever kiss each other. It's the only way. To see that in Him is to believe on Him. What is it to have faith in Christ and believe on Christ? It's to see He's not just a good man, He's the God man. He's not just the one who shows us the way to salvation. He's not just the one standing there saying, Come here, here, get behind me, and I'll show you the way to salvation. He is salvation. He said, I am the way. To see that and to believe that and to hope in that is to believe on Him. That's what faith in Christ is. It's to see Him for who He is and what He's done for His people. Now, if we end up believing on Him and Herod didn't, or any other person doesn't, what makes us to differ? Here's the answer. The grace of God, the kindness and goodness and mercy and favor of God. Where is boasting then? Do we get the credit for, well, you're going to enter into condemnation because you didn't believe, but I did. Do we get the credit or the glory for believing? God forbid. Where is boasting? It's excluded. This is not of ourselves. This is the gift of God Almighty to His people. And whom the Father chose to give it to, and whom the Son died to receive it, the Spirit of God will bring it to them. And it will be revealed, and they will see Christ for who He is. And this is what they'll cry. And I want to exhort all of us today, I'll close with this, I want to exhort all of us today, we read just a minute ago in Hebrews 6, today, while it is called today, okay, today, while it's called today, the Lord has not come back yet. It's still today, here on this earth. Let's all cry out, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe what You're saying is true. I fear You. you have put fear in me. And I believe that this is the beginning of wisdom. And in your wisdom, you've caused me to say, I need to believe on you. My only hope is that I believe on you, but faith is not of myself. It's the gift of you. Please increase our faith. Lord, please, we believe, help our unbelief. Would you do it? If you'll do it, we'll believe on you. Just like that leper who came up to him, he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you will, you can make us believe on you. And if I could, I'd go through every name. I'd say all your names right now. Cry out to him. Lord, give me faith to believe on you. I'm a sinner against you. I cannot reform myself or change my ways, or my only hope is in you. Give me faith to believe and cry out to you. All who ask will receive. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.